Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, board-certified urologist, all-around great guy. Here joined by my co-host, Donna Lee.
That's right. Welcome to the Donna Lee Show, everybody.
This is not the Dr. Donna Show.
It is.
We are going to get cited by every medical board on earth.
I got a piece of junk mail that is addressed to Donna McBride, MD. Therefore, geez.
All right, well, please send any complaints to Donna at naurology.com.
Right.
This is a men's health show. We deal with a lot of things between the nipples and the knees.
Mm.
And there's nothing more nipply and knee-y than semen.
Oh, wow.
And
that
baby
was a
making.
Hard left.
This show is brought to you by
hard
NAU
left.
Urology Specialists. Mm-hmm. All complaints can be sent to the FCC. We do a lot of fertility in our practice, Donna. You know that?
That is your favorite thing under the sun.
It is one of my favorite things.
That and getting 80-year-old men hard-ons.
I do love to give an 80-year-old man a hard-on.
Yes.
And so, but what I love to do even more is to deal with professionals.
Not unlike us.
Unlike us.
Okay.
So this is not my first radio experience.
Rodeo?
This is not my first radio rodeo.
Rodeo.
My first radio rodeo was mm-hmm. with someone who I really feel is one of the like premier physicians in Austin,
mm-hmm.
a spectacular mentor and somebody who really, really, really helped my practice when it was just in its infancy.
And also a good
And I
guy.
Cannot thank you enough for being here. So Dr. Kaylin Silverberg with Texas Fertility Center, thank you so much for joining us, Kaylin.
Oh my God, what a great honor. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
I was on your show. What was the name of your show?
We had a show, Beyond the Birds and Bees.
Beyond the Birds and the Bees.
Right.
And today that would be something different. That would be all transgender stuff. But back then it was just about female infertility, right?
Yeah, basically. We tried to cover male too, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I came in
right.
to do a show
that's
here.
What we needed you for.
So one of our best jokes on this show is don't pull out. It's not a great strategy. Get
but
a vasectomy.
Vasectomy is.
And so, and especially nowadays in the United States, there's a lot of kind of either misconception or preconception or concern about what's going to happen now to reproductive rights in the United States. It'd be awesome for you to come in and talk to us about what those implications are.
Sure.
Our vasectomy business has gone through the roof. I'm not going to say that we've benefited, but I'm just saying that we've finally allowed men to understand that they have a role in their own family planning roles, and we want to
sure.
be a resource to that.
For
so
sure.
why don't you go through kind of what you think the implications of this Roe versus Wade kind of overturning or however you want to kind of counsel it, and especially how it deals with people in Texas?
Well, it's really interesting because it's multifactorial, right? I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to approach this. And the way that I like to look at it when I'm trying to talk to patients about it, because the hype right now is through the roof.
Right.
I did CNN, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. I got a call from them and talked to them. I did NPR 2 weeks ago. Been called by most of the radio stations and TV stations in Austin because everybody's concerned, right? The problem is
how come nobody's
people,
calling me for anything?
Nobody calls you.
Jesus. All right, continue,
well,
please.
Most of the people who are concerned really don't know the facts. And so they ask questions that are really kind of nonsensical and really don't apply. When you look at what the effect is of the two laws, I'll talk about there's actually three. There's two laws and one bill that's going to be introduced probably in January. And if you look at the effect of the two laws that are in effect now, first of all, the heartbeat law that passed, and then second of all, the trigger law, if you look at the effect of those now, there's really no effect on IVF. There's really no effect on fertility treatment. The difference is, and where the effect actually is downstream. So for example, if a couple conceives a multiple pregnancy, in the old days, 6 months ago, we could send them to a high-risk OB doctor and they could get the pregnancy reduced. So if they started with triplets or quadruplets, they could reduce down to a singleton or twins very effectively, very easily, very low risk.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that anymore. So you have to go out of state for that. So that will impact our ability to do things like injectable drugs combined with intrauterine insemination.
Or putting multiple embryos in. Because
well,
a
we
lot
don't
of
do
times
that
people
anyway.
Come in. Yeah.
So we haven't done that in years. I mean, you know, we put in one embryo at a time except for extraordinarily rare circumstances. I think our last statistics, 99.7% of our embryo transfers are single embryos. And, you know, there's always embryo split. Sure it can. But that's totally unpredictable. It's totally unpreventable. And so, you know, when that happens somewhere between 1 in 100 times and 1 in 1,000 times, a couple has to deal with it and make that choice. And 99.9% of the time, they'll choose twins.
So when it comes to understanding how changes in abortion law might affect changes in fertility, what are some of the myths that you've heard and some of the hype that you've heard? Because
oh,
some of our
God.
Listeners may not even know what that hype and
The hype is that, you know, in vitro fertilization is going to be outlawed, okay? And then, you know, if you say, no, in vitro fertilization is not going to be outlawed, they say, well, what about personhood legislation? Let's talk about that. There's actually a bill. I have the text of that bill that's going to be introduced in the legislature in January or February. And the bill specifically says that it doesn't apply to either fertility treatment or in vitro fertilization. So you can't be more clear than to have in the actual bill that's going to be debated and voted upon language that says this doesn't apply to IVF or infertility.
So if somebody was going to be trying to get educated on what a personhood legislation mm-hmm. is, what we're saying is that there's going to be a law passed that says that at conception is when the entity should be considered a person. Is that the general
gist
of it?
That's exactly right. But I've got the bill pulled up here. It is Senate or House Bill number 1623. And the language of the bill specifically says under subchapter B, personhood rights, it talks about vesting of rights. And it says, if I can find the right language right here, vestment of rights 2.051, vestment of rights, the right to life for each born and preborn human being vests at fertilization.
So the whole idea here of personhood legislation is that life begins at fertilization, but there's going to be specific exclusions as they apply to IVF and to intrauterine insemination. Why don't you tell me kind of what do you think this is going to do to female fertility planning, family planning, things of that nature? Because in my opinion, I feel that because of limitations on the ability to terminate pregnancy, people are going to take the whole idea of getting pregnant a lot more serious.
Yeah, I hope that they will. I mean, they should have been doing that.
They should have, right? Yeah.
You know, we see people, it's kind of, I mean, hopefully we'll talk about pro-choice and pro-life because I can tell you my new definitions of pro-choice and pro-life. They're not the political definitions, but hopefully people are going to be able to pay a lot more attention to what they're doing. They'll be a lot more intentional about what they're trying to do. I think that, you know, when you joke about the fact that your vasectomy business is going through the roof, I think that that's going to happen. I honestly think our in vitro fertilization business is going to do the same thing for all the wrong reasons. You know, I think that a lot of people are going to say, gosh, you know what? I don't want to run the risk of having a baby with a birth defect or a chromosomal abnormality. I don't even want to run the risk of getting pregnant with an embryo that's going to have a chromosomal abnormality because then what do? I've got to go out of state to terminate that pregnancy as long as there's a heartbeat. So I think that what a lot of people are going to do is they're going to say, you know what? They're going to come in and maybe they would have easily gotten pregnant with pills or maybe they would have easily gotten pregnant with some minor surgery to fix a problem. They're going to say, you know what, I don't want that. I want in vitro fertilization because I want you to test my embryos before you put them in so that I'll know that I'm not going to have a risk of carrying a baby with, you know, a Down syndrome or Turner syndrome or chromosomal abnormalities or if I've got a history of certain types of genetic illnesses in my family. I want to be able to screen those out in advance so I don't have to worry about doing anything later.
I think that that concern, along with the fact that people are having children older and older, I think that you know there's so many things that are coming together when it with reproductive rights. And what are the true impacts that these changes in laws are really going to have on people that they may think that they're you know that they may be overthinking?
Sure. Well, I can tell you, first of all, every state's different. And what the Supreme Court did when they struck down Roe versus Wade in this Dobbs case, this Dobbs decision, they threw the issue back to the states. And so we can potentially have 50 or 51 different approaches to the legislatures of how they're going to approach this and what they're going to do and what laws they're going to implement in their own states. So I can really just speak to Texas because I'm pretty well versed in what goes on here.
Uh-huh.
It's basically hype. The bottom line is there is nothing in any of the legislation that's currently passed or any of the legislation that's going to be introduced and pending in the new legislature when it starts in January. There's not a single thing that inhibits our ability to do fertility treatment as we've been doing it. There's not a single thing that prohibits in vitro fertilization as it's currently practiced. All these laws do is they try and limit abortion, or in fact, now in Texas, eliminate abortion from the time of fertilization. So what this means practically is, you know, we only put in one embryo at a time with in vitro fertilization. So uh-huh. the risk of multiple pregnancy is somewhere between 0.1 and 1%, which is very, very low. And those are almost always twins. Rarely can you have an embryo that splits twice. But what would happen is if, God forbid, a patient conceives with some other type of fertility treatment and they have triplets or quadruplets, potentially they'd have to go out of state to get that pregnancy reduced.
So let me kind of clarify for some of our listeners that may not be as versed. So we're not talking about the impact that Roe versus Wade decision is having just on an ability to get an abortion, because that has been limited in Texas.
Correct.
And the laws, as I currently understand them, is if there's a heartbeat that's detected, that an abortion is not allowed. And then something that you mentioned, the trigger law,
right,
means that abortions in Texas are simply outlawed, correct?
Correct, from the moment of fertilization.
From the moment of fertilization. Now, what we're talking about, you and I, is really just the medical response, that if you're out there and you're suffering from infertility, what do these laws mean about how your pursuit of having a family is going to be impacted? And what you're trying to assure us of is that it's unlikely to greatly affect our ability to help with couples get pregnant.
That's correct. There's really nothing in here. Certainly, it's explicit that there's nothing in here that prevents in vitro fertilization.
And in fact, if you really have to think about it, I mean, having healthy children is what we want.
That's right. You know, if you eliminate the political implications of saying you're pro-choice or pro-life, we're both. You know, we're pro-choice because we want people to be able to choose to have a family when they want to. And we want to be able to have them choose to have whatever type of family they want to when they want to. And we're pro-life because what are we trying to do?
We're trying to make life.
I mean, there is nobody more pro-life than a fertility doctor.
Absolutely. And so just so that I can be clear, because a lot of our listeners may not know, but sometimes, you know, it's dangerous to have more than one baby at one time, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we get couples all the time that tell me they want to have twins.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God,
are you sure? Because, you know, they're like, yeah, I just want to, like, do it at
one
once, you know what I'm saying? And,
right,
and just have my entire family at one. And I'm like, this is not a cow, lady.
Right.
You know, sir, you know, one at a time is probably okay.
Well, I can tell you it's Saturday, right? And I saw 35 patients this morning. I'm on call this weekend. I saw 35 patients this morning, five of them. Are trying to convince me that they really want twins and even triplets.
No.
And I'm like, you know what?
No.
They look really cute when they're dressed alike and, you know, Christmas cards and when they're in the mall.
Yes.
You know, that's great.
They're TikToking their kids.
Oh, yeah. It's tough.
And so what happens sometimes is that sometimes when you do an assisted reproductive technology, when you give them drugs so they drop more eggs or something like that, they can have more than one baby developing.
They could.
And so currently, sometimes we reduce the number of fetuses growing so that the other ones can live. So it's an effort to make it more safe.
Correct.
And what you're saying is that will not be allowed in Texas anymore.
That is correct. That will not be allowed in Texas because there's a heartbeat. You know, so the original heartbeat law prevented that from happening. But then this Texas trigger law actually reverts back to pre-Roe versus Wade when abortion of all type was illegal.
Now, what's interesting is that whereas changing laws on the federal level is almost seems like climbing Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, I mean, we know our people here. Mm-hmm. We can convince them. We can talk to them. As the medical community in Texas, where we have a lot of say, there may be a lot of opportunity to help kind of guide and shape these rules so that they make sense both from an ethical standpoint as well as a medical standpoint.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And
totally
so I think it's really important that people don't get hyped up. They kind of understand what the truth is so that we can shape things in the right direction.
Yeah, we have to just lower the temperature in the room because, you know, you have to understand the couples that you deal with and that I deal with on a daily basis who are trying to conceive, all they want is what they've wanted ever since they were little boys and little girls growing up, and that is they want to have a family. They would like to be able to have a family with their partner without you or me getting involved. Right?
I'm not allowed to get involved. That's how I get in the news.
Yeah, I have no choice but get involved. And I know my role. I get it. I'm kind of a necessary evil in certain situations.
Absolutely.
Right?
They're never happy to see us.
No, they're never happy.
And the happiest day is
when they graduate and they get to leave us.
That's right.
I tell people all the time, you know, we're one of the only practices in medicine that we succeed when we lose our patients.
That's right. And every single one says, I don't want IVF. You know, like that's the first thing. I said, well, you know, I mean, this is kind of what you're here to, this is the journey that we're on to try to help you have to have children. When people are thinking about how these laws might affect their ability to get pregnant in the future, you mentioned something in our last segment about perhaps people using IVF in a wrong way because they're trying to avoid genetic anomalies in their children. Now, you seem to put kind of a negative spin on that. And I, in my brain, that's such a great thing. Like, let's just get every 20-year-old woman out there just to freeze her eggs, tie her tubes, and then she can make a baby later. But now that I say that, that sounds very, 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 very bad.
Right. Well, don't get me wrong, right? I mean, I think that it's great for women who are forward-thinking. They're on the career path. They may not have met Mr. Right yet. And they want to go ahead and they want to try and get some sort of insurance policy that they know they can rely on to at least raise the likelihood that they'll be able to successfully conceive when they're ready. And so they want to come in and they want to talk about freezing their eggs. I'm totally fine with that. I'm less fine when they come in at 44, 45, 46 years of age and want to freeze their eggs because it's too late.
It's too late.
But when they come in their early 30s, I think that's great. The concern that I have is that laws like this, you know, there's unintended consequences of everything.
Absolutely.
And one of the unintended consequences of laws like this is it is going to raise significantly the cost of fertility treatment.
Absolutely.
Because more and more patients are going to elect much more expensive, much more complicated
Absolutely.
Treatment.
Absolutely. And maybe you create even more distance between the haves and the have-nots out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to have the people that have the insurance or have the capability, you're going
right.
to be able to do it. You know, on the male side, our vasectomy business exploded. Almost 40% of our patients are now doing vasectomies that don't have children. You know, I wonder if we should be encouraging them to store sperm for the same, maybe these young kids aren't as, young boys aren't as forward-thinking as their You
You're
know,
right.
female counterparts,
Correct.
And they're going to end up without any children. But you know, that being said, I get paid more for the reversal, so I don't mind. I don't mind so much.
Yeah, well, it depends how you look at it. And I know you well enough to know you're joking around.
I know.
Your listeners may not.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Maybe it's the first step.
No.
So, do you think that there are steps that people should be taking right now to help kind of navigate some of these different decisions? How can people educate themselves?
Well, first thing they need to do is exactly that: educate themselves. They need to read the laws. You know, the laws, these laws are really actually short. You know, when you read the text, these don't go on for 20, 30, 40 pages like some of the legislation does. They're several paragraphs. It's not written in complicated English. I mean, it's written really pretty straightforward. You know, as much as I'm not in favor of some of the legislation that's been passed, at least the legislature consulted with somebody who knew what was going on, because the language that they're using is really appropriate language. I think it's being misappropriated, but it's appropriate language. So they didn't consult with me. I don't know who they did, but they consulted with somebody who really does understand the field.
They didn't consult with me either. Kaylin, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. This is Dr. Kaylin Silverberg with Texas Fertility Center. What's your website, Kaylin?
It's www.txfertility.com.
And Donna, how do people get a hold of us if they want to ask us or Dr. Silverberg a question?
You can reach out to us through armormenshealth.com. That's our website, or call us at 512-238-0762.
The Armour Men's Health Hour is brought to you by urology specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.